It is good to see everyone today, and we praise God as we assemble on this November 11th, 2018 at the Wayne County Bible Center on this Veterans Day. And God bless America, and we thank all of our veterans for the sacrifices that they have made who are defending our country now and in the past. And we want to thank all those families whose loved ones have gone home to be with Jesus defending this great nation of ours. Today we continue our study on the present realities of the Christian life. A message I've entitled The Life of Christ in Me. We're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 1. But as we began studying a few weeks ago, you know, I want to praise God that faith substantiates the evidence of things not seen, the future realities of God. And I know that I know that I know one day I'm going to have a glorified body. One day I'm going to be in heaven. One day there'll be no more pain, no more suffering. But there are also present day realities that we need to substantiate and establish in our lives. And we're looking at that right now. You know, everybody understands that at the point of salvation, I receive forgiveness of sin, and I praise God for that. And at the point of salvation, I have escaped the judgment and condemnation of God. And I praise God for that. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to one day go to heaven. But we must understand at the point of salvation, we not only receive the forgiveness of sin, we receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, who is the life of Jesus Christ. The life of Christ has come in me. We're going to look at that scripture again. If you've received the Son, you've received the life. And so what does that mean? How does that change me? So look at the scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life. We studied that last week. That's the Greek word zoe, not bios. We're not talking about physical life. We're talking about the eternal, everlasting life, what Zodites call the highest state of blessing in Christ Jesus. So He's given us everything that pertains unto our spiritual life in Christ. And godliness is a part of that. Through the epinosis, through the relationship knowledge and intimacy, my personal relationship of getting to know the Lord better, of Him that has called me to experience His glory and His virtue. Isn't that wonderful? Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, the Word of God, the promises, that by these I might be a partaker of the divine nature of God. Yeah. See, that's what happens at salvation. You have received the divine nature of God by the person of His Holy Spirit who comes and indwells you. You know, I grew up in the 60s in the Southern Baptist Church, and I praise God for the movement of evangelism that swept through the nation, especially with the Jesus movement. But we kept hearing every Sunday how to be saved, and we kept hearing every Sunday that we would escape hell and go to heaven. But we never were taught this. That after you get saved, you start living it here on earth. And it's a whole life of victory and overcoming if you'll partake of it.
Yes, sir.
Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So this is what He's saying. And beside this, beside what, Raleel? Beside just having your faith that saves you, give all diligence to add to that faith the virtue of God, to grow in your knowledge, in your relationship about Jesus and with Jesus as you fellowship with Him, the temperance of God, the patience, His godliness, etc., etc. Let's go to Jesus in prayer. Father, as we come today, I thank You for Your patience and mercy and love. Father, I confess to You my daily sins and my weekly sins. And Father, I confess them out loud in my prayer closet. Because they're real. So they need to be spoken out loud and dealt with. Father, I want to thank you that if I confess my sin, the blood of Jesus cleanses me. And I need your blood to cleanse me. I pray for an anointing of your Spirit and a filling of your Spirit so that in humility and submission, I can wash the feet of those that are listening. Father, just bless us. Lord, I'm just a man, but your Holy Spirit is the perfect teacher. So I pray that your Spirit will teach us today. Speak to all our hearts in a personal way, in a deeper way. Father, you know my needs. You know our needs. You know what we need to hear from you. So I know your still small voice, your conviction, your movement can move within us and upon us. So Father, we have glorified you in song and we seek now to just lift you up and your answers for us. Holy Spirit, please take over. In your name we pray. Amen. So divine power, the spiritual life, the Zoe, His glory, His virtue, His divine nature. But let's grab that verse 4. That you might be partakers of His divine nature, His divine life. Now, I want you to understand something. Before I got saved, I carried around in my body my fallen, corrupt human nature. And I want you to understand something. After I got saved, I'm still carrying around in my body my fallen, corrupt human nature. And Paul tells us in the book of Romans that there's a battle going on between his fallen nature and the divine nature of Christ. Between his flesh and God's spirit. And a lot of times he says, oh, wretched man that I am. So the bottom line is we want his spirit to beat our flesh. We want his divine nature to overtake our fallen human corrupt nature. Yeah. And that's Christianity and that's spiritual growth. So at the point of salvation, the divine life of Jesus Christ enters into me. Go with me to Galatians by the form of his spirit. Go to Galatians 4. We need to understand this. In Galatians chapter 4, in verse 6, it says, and when God sees faith in my heart, when I become a son, and because you are sons or the children of God, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. So when I get saved, the Holy Spirit comes into my heart. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Spirit of his Son. Who is his Son? Jesus Christ. And what does the Spirit represent? The life of Jesus Christ. The very life of Jesus Christ is entered into my heart by the form of his Spirit. His everlasting eternal life. What do you mean by that, Brother Leo? Before the world began, I am, Jesus says. I've existed before time. And then the historical life of Christ, that he lived here on the face of this earth. What do you mean by that, Brother Leo? The life that walked on water. The life that healed the lame. The life that fed the 5,000. The life that showed forgiveness on the cross. The life that was tempted in every way in which we are. Yet without sin, that life is entered into me. How do you know it, Brother Leo? Well, John tells me. Go to 1 John chapter 5. So you have received the life of Christ. Sometimes we talk about the Holy Spirit. We understand him as a person. But we need to define him even more deeply as the Word defines him for us. He is the Spirit of the Son, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And this life is entered in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, eternal Zoe. That spiritual, everlasting life. And this life is in his Son. Would you say that with me? This life is in his Son. This life is the Son's life. Man, Keith, this gives me joy and peace. I can't depend upon myself, but boy, I can depend upon the life of Christ being in me. And what he can accomplish, what he can do. And notice what he says. He that hath the Son hath this life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not this life. So I have got the life of Christ living in me. And what that means is the life of Christ, everything that's true of Christ is now inside of me and is capable in me. Go with me to John chapter 14. Jesus said it before it happened, but he wanted us to be clear on this. John chapter 14, verse 16. People talk about being saved. Saved from what? Saved from eternal damnation. People talk about being a believer. A believer in what? Well, I believe about Jesus. I may not believe in him, but I believe about him. You know, people say all these things. I'm a Christian. You're a Christian? Yeah, I believe Jesus Christ. That makes you a Christian. And the Bible is teaching this dynamic of experience. See, I'm not a religious guy. I'm not a doctrine guy. I'm an experience guy. I've got to experience the reality of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I've got to be conscious of His presence and His power with me and in me and working on me. I want to praise God. Sometimes at night I can just sit back and praise God for the peace of Jesus Christ. And there are sometimes during the week I can praise God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the chastening of the Lord. All these realities that go on in the life of a Christian or a child of God. In John chapter 14, Jesus says this verse, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he shall be in you. This Holy Spirit shall be in you. But look at verse 20. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I will be in you. All that is true of him, all that he did, all that he's lived, his life without sin, his power to overcome, I possess that life, and that should be my experience. I should be experiencing the life of Christ being lived out in me and through me. I'm going to say it again. Yes. Every Christian that is born again and indwelt by the Spirit should be experiencing the life of Jesus Christ being lived out in them and through them. Yeah. Say, Brother Leo, I need more patience. You don't need any more patience. You need Christ's patience being lived out in you and through you. Brother Leo, I need more faith. You don't need any more faith. You need the faith of Christ being activated in your life. Let me show you that. Go to Galatians 2. Go to Galatians chapter 2. I'm going to show you how you do it here in a moment, but I want you to understand you need to be doing it. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul says this. I am crucified with Christ. I have identified myself and died to self as Christ died on that cross for me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I am still alive in the body, bios. Yet it's not I living, but Christ living in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, this physical life, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And it should say of, the faith of, not the faith in, because that changes the whole thing. I'm living by the faith of Jesus Christ, the power of Jesus Christ, the victory of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. I deal with besetting sins. You say, Brother Leo, what's a besetting sin? It's a sin that so easily besets you. It's some of those sins that, man, you just can't get a victory over, you know? And they're your weak points. Well, I want you to understand something. The power of Christ was tempted just as I am, yet without sin. So I can find victory over the biggest sins in my life through the power of Jesus Christ that's living in me.
Yes, sir.
So we've got to understand that. Now look what he says, the life which I now live. It's not I that lives. I want the life of Christ living in me and through me. And you know, folks say all the time, I just need Jesus to change my life. Or folks say all the time, you know, when I got saved, Jesus changed my life. And that's true. But once you get saved, your goal is not a changed life. Your goal is an exchanged life. Let me say it again. Your goal is not a changed life. Your goal is an exchanged life. I want to exchange my life for His life. I want to lay my life down so His life can take over. I want to say with John the Baptist, I must decrease, He must increase. And so we're talking about this progression that needs to go on, as Peter said, by which you take upon yourself more and more of the divine nature of God in areas of your life. I want His divine nature in this area taken over from my corrupt, fallen nature in this area. So where there's worry and anxiety and a lack of peace, I want confidence in God and peace. You know, where there's lust, I want love. Where there's hate, I want love. Where there's jealousy, I want a fullness where I'm pulling for everybody else. Any area in your life, things that I'm holding on to, I've got to give over to God. And so, you do that by allowing His life to take over. Now, how does it happen, Brother Leo? Well, if we want the life of Christ taking over our life, well, the life of Christ is going to have to do the work. So go to 2 Corinthians 3. And this needs to be your experience. You cannot change yourself. You know that. Now, I'm not going to make you say it. I'll say it for you. I cannot change myself. You cannot change anybody else. I'm not going to make you say it out loud. I'll say it for you. You cannot change anybody else. But notice this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is a liberty. There is a freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, I want you to understand that. Where the Spirit, it not only means the presence of the Spirit of the Lord, you know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, but it means when He is in control. where the Spirit of the Lord is and is in control, you're going to get freedom from bondage. Now, we all, with an open face and heart, if you missed last week, go back and pick this up because I broke this verse down. We all, with an open face and heart, as we fellowship and commune with the presence and the glory of God, it's as if we're looking in a mirror at the glory of the Lord, and we are changed into His image from our glory to His glory, from His glory to a deeper of His glory, as by the Spirit of the Lord. As I am changed into His divine nature, into His image, the goal, the progress, my experience, all true change, all real transformation is only carried out by the Holy Spirit. And it can only be done by His work. So how do I initiate the Holy Spirit to do that? Well, that verse tells you. You look in the glass. Beholding is in a glass. You look in the glass. What do you mean, Brother Leo? I need to go home and look in a mirror? Yeah. Yeah. Metaphorically. Metaphorically, you go home Now, tomorrow morning, some of you ladies are going to have to get up and put makeup on. Some of you men are going to have to get up and shave. You know? And to do that, you got to look in a mirror. So you have to take time to do this. And it's the same way here. You are to look in a mirror. You are to get alone with the Word of God. You are to get alone with the presence of God. And you are to have your communion and your fellowship with God. And what do you do, Brother Leo, when you do that? Well, you read a psalm. You can meditate on it. You can let a verse speak to you. You can pray for the young lady in Collinwood. You can pray for the situation in California. You can pray for Brother Cameron as he goes to the doctor this week. You can thank the Lord for some things in your life. Then you can talk to the Lord as you have waded through the door about some situations that are going on in your life. And the way you're handling them, and how probably you're handling them wrong, and you've been handling them wrong, and you want to eventually get to a place in your prayer closet with situations, circumstances, with your own life, where you honestly, directly, and honestly say, "Not my will, but yours be done."
Yes, sir.
And what's that called, brother? It's letting Him take over. And when you start making a commitment to letting God take over, He starts to transform you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you, number one, He cannot transform a hard heart. He can't transform a stubborn heart. He can't transform a prideful heart. And you say, "Well, Brother Leo, I don't have a hard heart. I don't have a stubborn heart. I don't have a prideful heart." Well, if you're the kind of person that I've met with over the last 30 years, you're the kind of person that usually says, "These are my plans, God bless." That's a hard heart, a stubborn heart, and a prideful heart. Or you're the kind of person that says, "I think this is the way it needs to be handled." And you're always telling God that kind of stuff. God can only honor submissiveness and brokenness and obeisance unto Him. I just give it over to You, Lord. I allow You, Lord, to be the authority in my life. I want You to take over, Lord. How many of you ever prayed that prayer? You know, that just came to me. I pray it all the time. I pray it back there every Sunday. "Lord, I need You to take over. I need You to totally take over. My body, my mind, my thoughts, take over." Well, that's a good prayer to pray tomorrow morning and then at noon and then at lunch and in whatever situation you're dealing with. But the bottom line is, you got to do more than pray it. You got to give it over.
Right.
And then the Lord will begin transforming you. And He'll begin working in your life as you are changed into the glory. Look at what it says, "as by the Spirit of the Lord." So I want you to understand something. The life of Jesus Christ is in me, and I need to be conscious of the power and the energy of the Holy Spirit at work in my life. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. We're there. You don't even have to go far. I'm skipping some. Chapter 4, verse 5. "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." What treasure? The Spirit of Christ, the life of Christ. And notice what He says, "We have this in earthen vessels." What is that? That's your body. "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the life of Christ lives in you?" But notice what He goes on to say, "that the power is of God, and the power is not of us. I possess within me a treasure of unspeakable worth, the power that shakes the universe, and I should be conscious of this power working in me every day."
Amen. Yes. Yeah.
What did the Holy Spirit do in your life last week? Folks ought to be able to say, you know, Brother Lee, the Holy Spirit really did a work in my life last Tuesday. Let me tell you about it. How many years has it been? 34 years, full-time pastor? I've heard that maybe five times. Not that people got to confess to me, but goodness, it seems like I'd be excited to tell you that. Well, Brother Lee, I don't know if the Holy Spirit's ever really worked in my life. Well, I don't know either. We live in an age, look at what he says. 2 Corinthians 4:7, that the excellency of the power may be of God. This is God's power that is in us, in our earthen vessels. And he didn't give us this power just to lay there latently. It's to be energized as you get along with the Lord, as you take time with Jesus. I feel like we deal with this generation that Paul dealt with. He ran into this bunch that got baptized by John the Baptist. Now, John's message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And they were good Jews, and they repented, and they believed Messiah was coming. I don't know if they ever actually saw Messiah, but they believed it. And they said, Paul said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And you say, you mean believe the gospel of Christ? No, they didn't tell us that. They said they were John's disciples. Believe the message of John. Okay. Repent, be baptized, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So they believed John's message. And you know what they said? They said, man, we've not even heard about the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah. How many religions are in America today? These people don't even hear about the Holy Spirit and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand something. We are living in the church age. The church age is defined by only two events, all right? The longevity of the church age. Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down. The rapture, when the Holy Spirit goes up. And in between, everything needs to be done through and in the Holy Spirit. Let me show you something. Go to Luke chapter 24. And this power doesn't need to be neglected. He doesn't need to be ignored. He doesn't need to be scared of. He needs to be activated and energized in your life. Are you saved? Say, Brother Leo, why are you asking that? I'm going to ask it again. I'm using it in a minute. Are you saved? Yes. All right. Luke 24, verse 49. I'm going to ask you a better question after that, but I appreciate your answer. Luke 24, 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. That's the treasure that's in you. And what did Galatians say a few moments ago? That when you get saved, he sends the Holy Spirit from heaven down into your heart. The Spirit of his Son, the life of Jesus Christ, endued with power from on high. I tell you what, go back there. Go to Galatians 4. Go to Galatians 4. I'll read it again. The reality of the Holy Spirit. The devil knows if he can keep people away from this reality, he's got them whipped. Because you can't win any kind of victory for Christ in the flesh. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. God sends forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart. And I cry out, hey, I am now a child of God. I'm going to show you that again. Go to Romans 8. Go to Romans 8. All the epistles are about the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. If it is true that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Are you a Christian? Well, if you're a Christian, then the Spirit of God's in you. If the Spirit of God's not in you, you're not a Christian. Oh, Brother Leo, you're offending folks. No, I'm not. I read the verse. Let me read it again. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Christian means I belong to Christ. Do we understand that? So I can ask anybody, are you saved? Now, a lot of folks say, yeah. But if you want to get a little bit deeper, say, are you indwelt by the Holy Spirit? At what point in your life did you become indwelt by the Holy Spirit? Well, Brother Leo, that's getting awful personal. I would love for someone to ask me that. People ask me all the time what religion I am. I said, well, you know, I was raised Southern Baptist, but I am a born-again child of God indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That's how I describe myself.
Yeah.
We've not even heard of this Holy Spirit. So, you know, are you saved? Go into John chapter 3. I mean, these are the words of Jesus. John chapter 3. And this is a reality that we've got to drive home. You know, there are a lot of times people want, I'm talking about religious people. People go to church every Sunday. They've been in church 40 years. They'll sit and discuss things with you. And they'll talk doctrinally.
Amen.
And you say, wait a minute, before we start this discussion, are you indwelt by the Holy Spirit? Well, I got baptized. I joined a church. I've been a deacon for 40 years. Now, that's not what I'm asking you. Tell me about the time you got indwelt by the Holy Spirit. I can tell you about my time.
Amen.
Now, in John chapter 3, he says this. Verse 3, verily I say unto you, Jesus speaking, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind will blow upon you, the pneuma, the spirit. You'll feel him coming upon you. You can sense him. You can't see him. But you will come under that conviction. And if you receive him, you will be born of the Spirit. You must be born of the Spirit. Are you a Christian? How many people in the world would answer that affirmatively? Millions. Millions. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Okay, tell me about your born again experience. Well, what do you mean? Jesus said you must be born again. And the reason he says that, your physical birth, you don't remember it, but it was an experience. I'm going to tell you, everybody sitting in this room, you got borned. Okay? You were borned. B-O-R-N-E-D. Borned. Your mama remembers it. And that's what Jesus is saying. As real as your physical birth, your spiritual birth is a real experience. So we must not be shy about the reality of the born-again experience and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Yeah.
Because that's Christianity. And I'm not going to be shy about once you're saved, you need to be progressing in the inward activity of the Spirit moving upon your life.
Amen.
But for many, he lays late. Now, go back with me to Romans and let me tell you something else. Romans 8. You know, we always say, Brother Leo, all these people are Christians. You hear the secular media now, and they'll say, everybody's a child of God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're all God's children. No, we're not. Ephesians 2 says, you are a child of disobedience, and when you get saved, you become a child of God. Yeah. We are not all God's children. We've all been created by God. God loves everybody, but to come into the family of God, you must be indwelt by the Spirit. Look at verse 9 again. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He doesn't belong to him. But verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received, all right, if you got to receive something, okay? You don't have it, so you have to receive it. So you receive his Holy Spirit. The spirit of bondage, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Yeah. The Spirit himself bears witness with my spirit that we all are the children of God. Yeah. Yeah. You need to develop your discernment so well that you can be around somebody for a little while and you can say, you know, that's my brother. Yeah. That's my sister. You know, I've known Gil for many years. Gil's just always been my brother. You my brother, man. You know, why is my brother? Because the Spirit's in. You know, Judy's my sister. You know why she's my sister? Because the Spirit's in. You know, and the Spirit binds us together, draws us together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we can love one another. In that way. But notice what he says. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And I want to say this, that's the corporate verse, okay? That's the verse that says, hey, we're all in this together and we realize it. Not because you're a Baptist or a Methodist or a Pentecostal or a Catholic. Not because you go to church on Sunday and I go to church on Sunday. It has nothing to do with anything outward. It's all on the fact of verse 16 that you're indwelt by the Spirit and I'm indwelt by the Spirit. And we can discern that one with another on a corporate basis. So we can know that. But primarily, verse 15 talks on a personal level. You receive the spirit of adoption, and then you can cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit allows me to say, I know that I know I am now a child of God. So he brings me to God, and he brings you to me. Okay? The Spirit brings you to God, and he brings me to you. So he brings us to our Father, and he brings us together as brothers and sisters. That's an amazing work. It's a powerful work. And it's the reality. God has made my heart his dwelling place. The very life of the Spirit of the power of Christ is in me. All that he is available to me. And I need to be conscious. And I need to be serious about energizing and activating his work in me on a daily basis. You know, what you see every Sunday morning goes on all week, but Saturdays are not a Saturday to me. I'm not a Saturday guy. I can't be, you know, even if I go somewhere on a Saturday, my mind is not there. Patty knows my mind's not there. Saturday night, my mind's not anywhere but here. And Sunday morning, it's, you know, until this happens. And it's the activity of the Holy Spirit. And we all need this in areas of our life. And so this is what the Lord says. Go to 2 Corinthians 13 and I close with this. In It's easy for somebody to tell you they're saved. It's easy for somebody to tell you they're a Christian. But are you indwelt by the Holy Spirit? Tell me about your born-again experience. Well, where are you getting that? And then you can tell them, well, I'm getting it right out of John 3. I'm getting it right out of Romans 8. I mean, you're not discounting the Bible now because you can't answer the questions. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says this, examine yourself. Just stop right there. Examine yourself. Well, what do I need to examine? Examine yourself whether you be a good Baptist. Examine yourself whether you tithe. Examine yourself whether there's 5 stars by your name in the Sunday school room. All these outward things. Religion didn't mean to, but what it did, it took everything that was supposed to be inside, we put it outside. And so people like me are fighting before Jesus comes back to get the word out, to get it all back inside. Yeah. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Okay, what's that mean, brother? That means I'm a believer in, I'm putting my trust in, I'm believing what the gospels say, I'm making my commitment, my declaration, my heart commitment. But prove your own self. Know ye not your own self? Whether or not the life of Jesus Christ is in you. That's the acid test. And if he's not, you're a reprobate. Now there are people all over America that can click their internet off right now. And they can say, I called him a reprobate. I didn't add that. That's Paul. Paul said, if Christ is not in you, you are a reprobate. You're a lost soul. So I think it's a legitimate question to sit across from someone in love and say, are you indwelt by the Holy Spirit? Was there a time in your life where you went through a born-again season by which you got born again by the Spirit? You see, I preach this message backwards today. I preach it to the Christian first about having the Spirit progressing and moving in his life. And then we came back to that point because there may be some that are listening on the website, even some in this room that have been thinking, you know, the Holy Spirit's really not that active in my life. And then you get down to this part and say, maybe he's not in my life. And that's a critical decision to make. And we can meet and we can talk about it. And I'll ask you those questions. And you're only going to have one or two answers. You may say, you know, well, Brother Leo, I can't ever remember a time in my life where I went through the conviction of the Holy Spirit and had this born-again experience. I can't remember. I've always gone to church. But to tell you I know that I got indwelt by the Spirit, I can't tell you that. Or you may say, you know, Brother Leo, there was a time in my life I did go through and I felt the conviction and I went and we'll explore that and we'll discuss it. The more you talk about it, you answer your own question. But you've got to get it settled before you can live it. And so many folks can say all the right things about Jesus, about faith, about grace, about the gospel. But it all comes down to the reality. It's another, the reality of the Holy Spirit in your life. I want the Holy Spirit working in me and on me and through me. That's Christianity. I'm going to ask Judy to play softly for a few moments. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. If you want to pray with me, you can. But just take a few moments. And as you meet with the Lord, as you meet with the Spirit, is there an area in your life where the Spirit is not at work? You're not allowing Him to work? Ask the Lord about it. Talk to Him about it. Make a commitment about it. Maybe you're here today and you're not sure if you're indwelled. Or maybe you're here today and you know you've never never had that born again experience. To be born of the Spirit, as Jesus says. Or maybe you want to explore it and seek God's wisdom. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, let's take a few moments with Jesus.